together. I want to thank each one of you for all your support and encouragement and all your help with hope. And I just want to say that, you know, if you're going through any trials, what God's really been showing me is that it is only for a time that we go through something, but in due time, we always see God's goodness. So just sing in there, whatever you're going through, God is good. Praise the Lord.
It is my privilege today to introduce to you, I know you know him, have met him before, but Dr. Neil Carlton is here today, and he's going to bring a message. Neil is has been a great encouragement to me and Laura, and just been a good friend and great guy to pray with and to think about the future with, and so I asked him to come today and to share a message with us. And he's also looking for a flu. He lost the flu. I don't know what that means, but I think he'll come and share about that.
I think I will too. Thank you, Duncan. It's a real privilege to address you today for a lot of reasons. One is that I'm used to preparing and preaching 4 and 5 sermons every week, but since Nancy and I moved to Cayucas, it's very rare that I even get to speak, so I'm really happy to do that. But the more important reason is, as you can see on the handout in the bulletin, the take-home truth that I want you to take home, which I want you to read to me now, if you will. Anybody, everybody, together. Let's start all over. I'm really happy to be here today. And I'd like for you to share with me the take-home truth that you have in your bulletin that you will probably be taking home. Together, everybody, what's the truth? That's good, that's good. Okay, in your mind's eye, I want you to go to an auditorium somewhere in America, maybe some auditorium that you've gone to, a civic center, and I want you to peg it in your mind, and you're walking up to the front door. You hear there's a lot of musical instruments that are being tuned up inside. You walk in. It's a great night because it is dress rehearsal for the orchestra. On stage, everybody's on their finest. The instruments are all polished. They're all ready to give their dress rehearsal. It's not long before the conductor comes to the podium and he raises his little white wand and he hits it like that. And everybody gets ready. And then they start playing. And they're playing so beautifully. They're just going all through the score. It's just fabulous. It's what dress rehearsals are all about. Really good. But then all of a sudden, he does this. Now, you who know music know what this means. What does it mean? Cut off. Stop. Hold it. And this is what he says. Where's the flute? Where's the flute? Well, everybody knows where the flute is, but everybody's startled by that. Where is the flute? And so he points back there to the flutist, and the flutist knows where he is, but he says, where is the flute? Well, the flute didn't play a few of its meager notes that it had. It didn't have many notes. And I would imagine that the guy would say, you know, my instrument is not very big to begin with, and there are not many notes that I've got to play. Why should I have to play? But the great designer of the musical score had planned that the flute play those 1 or 2 or 3 notes. Nobody in the meager audience knew that. Nobody in the orchestra knew there was anybody missing. But who missed the flute? And today the great conductor is looking down here wondering, is there anybody missing at all? Now they say that a good sermon could be preached in 1 or 2 sentences, and here it is. Actually, here they are. Number one, you are very, very important. Number two, God needs you. I guess that's a sermon, Duncan. I'm going to turn around, and if anybody wants to leave, they can leave. But if you want to stay for the expanded edition, I guess you could stay a little bit longer. I started playing the trumpet maybe the 6th grade or so, and played through junior high and high school, college. had a lot of great experiences with the trumpet, and it's just really great. Somebody back here thought about how ugly the instrument looked and tarnished. Thanks. But you know, you can't go by what an instrument looks like. You go by what comes out of the instrument, so I didn't appreciate that. Anybody here play a trumpet in the back? Anybody has played a trumpet in the past? Was that a yawn or no? Okay. Can you play a trumpet? No? Okay, didn't know that. I've got to tell you this. We were playing in the Sugar Bowl at halftime. The Bird Band had its colors as blue and gold, purple and gold. And that evening when we were out playing, we did maneuvers. For example, that night I think we did a covered wagon. We did it in the dark. And on top of our hats, we had little purple or gold lights. I was one of the wheels, I think. And the wheels would go in the dark. It was a very impressive sight, I might add. But David Carson, who was the band director, that evening while we were doing our performance, the lights were out. We were moving like we were supposed to move because we were listening to what the instructions were. David Carson threw up his baton. He'd never thrown it up so high that evening. Remember, on each light, you couldn't remember because I haven't told you this, on each end of the baton, there was a gold and a purple light. He threw it up really high, higher, higher, and higher, but all the way up. And we were all just watching it. And when it got to the top, guess what happened? One of the lights went out. And so while we were doing our best to play, we watched it as it started descending. And every eye in the stadium was on it. Just like this evening or this morning or wherever you are, whenever you are, there are those people watching you in the heavenly realm. Down, down, down it went. And then David caught it. And everybody in the stadium just applauded it. Well, that's enough of that. Anyway, enough of that. We have a group of people here, excuse me, and when a group of people come together, they're called a gathering, they're called, what else could they be called? An assembly, thank you. Or could it be that we have a band before us right now? A band? Yes, we've got a band before us. And God has given you a conductor. And it's very important to listen to what God is saying to us as a church through your conductor. Now, in my high school day band, David Carson, not Carl's son, but Carson was the band leader. He was the leader. But over him was the teacher, who was the overseer. And I like to see the analogy that way. It's simply this, that God has placed an anointed man here as your pastor to lead you as band members, and you're all put together here in your finery, and God wants you to play a tune that can be heard throughout this whole Central Coast. And as we prepare for the first concert in the worship center, we want to bear in mind that there are four ways that we can prepare ourselves to do that. And with your pencil instrument before you, the band, the church, must be in place. You must be in place. Now, the church universal is everywhere right now, even as I speak. The church is meeting in third world countries. The church is meeting in Africa. The church is meeting across the United States. But for we right here, the church has to have, you have to have a place to meet. Acts 1 tells us that when the day of Pentecost came, they were what? One or two? all together in one place. Or King James says they all were together in one accord. And no, it wasn't an automobile. They were all together in just one place. So the one place for us today is what? 1475 Quintana. That's the place where the church is meeting together. And from this place, we've got to produce a lot of harmony. Now, in the book of Numbers, it tells us that they are to keep all the instruments of the temple. Now, as I look out upon you, I see that you are instruments. You guys are beautiful instruments, and you are here in this temple for a real important purpose. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you don't have to turn to it, but it says in verse 42 that there are a couple of guys who were responsible for the instruments in the temple, the sounding of the trumpets and the sounding of the cymbals and for the playing of the other instruments for the sacred song. God wants this church to send out a sacred song. And to do that, we must be all together to produce that harmony. Now I see a clarinet. I see a missing flute. I see a trombone. What other instruments are in the orchestra? Tell me. Saxophone. Tuba. Now what? Drums. Piano. What? Harp, yes. So all of these instruments that I see out there are really important. But you got to be in one accord. You got to be together. Because if somebody's playing a saxophone over there and somebody's playing a trumpet over here, the sounds aren't in harmony. You've got to be together. That's why it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were in one place. The writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some people happens to be. Now, you know well, last time you barbecued, that if you took the tongs and moved the coal out to the side, it didn't do much good all by itself. In fact, it soon went out. But if you take that coal and you move it in with the other coals, it just works together better. God wants the church to work together better. And the purpose of the message today is to tune us up to get ready for the first concert in the new worship center just a few weeks away. Instead of being all together right now, a few of the instruments here, I think, well, I don't know for sure. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I think some might be gardening, and some may be golfing, and some may be mowing the lawn, and some may be shopping, and some may be doing this, and some may be doing that. And so when they're not here, we don't have a full orchestra. That's why, forsake not the assembling of yourself, and together we can do something here that we've never done before. Now, the other scripture comes from Hebrews. And number two. I lost my bulletin. Give me a bulletin. Number two, the church, the band, must, and I must say it again, must have the eyes on the conductor. Must have your eyes on the conductor. Now, who is the conductor here? Yes, you got to keep your eyes on him. Now, he may not like me to say this, but, you know, he did not just decide to be a pastor. He became a pastor because God chose him and put his hand upon him as myself. And so he is different from us all because he is in a position where God is saying, I want you to be my representative. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Read for me, would you? Okay, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus, but I just said you have to fix your eyes on the conductor. Now, they're not the same, obviously, but it's really important to know that God has a plan where he speaks to us all, but especially do you not believe he would speak to the people that he chose to lead his church, his congregation in music? And so he does represent God. And it's important to follow him because, you know, like I recall once we were marching one way and all of a sudden David Carson said, I'm going to let him turn left. And he gave the motions for us to turn left. But if we weren't watching, we would just fall over everybody. You've got to watch what the conductor, how the conductor directs you in the orchestra because there may be a change coming up that you didn't plan on. You may have a change coming up that you're not planning on. I like the scripture that says in Psalm 34, verse 15, uses different instruments, but it says in Psalm 34, 15, which you're going to read with me in the bulletin, the eyes are on the righteous. Now, sort of a two-way street here. While you're watching the conductor, now we shift just to God's realm, God is watching you. Now, the Bible tells me that God has inscribed my name on the palm of his hand. That's pretty cool. But it also says his eyes are watching me. So in the back to shift to the orchestra or to the band, as we watch the conductor, he may pick up the speed or he may slow us down. We've got to have our eyes on him. And in like manner, he's got his eyes upon us. He's watching. He's watching. And if you're dozing or not doing what you're supposed to be doing, the conductor may just say, hey, wake up, wake up. His eyes are upon you. The third thing that we need to do is this. The band, which is the church, must have instruments ready. Must have your instruments ready. For if your instruments are not ready, how can you play? Now, would everybody stand just for a minute, pick up your instrument? Like you may be seated. There were three people who needed this. Sit back down. Okay. Now, what you just did is move your instrument. Somebody's saying, this is so elementary. But you know what? It's the simple things that we remember. You have brought with you, as I have brought with you today, an instrument. And God is wanting you to realize that you've got to have the instrument. Now, in Isaiah 54, 16, it says, behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work. Now, this is derogatory. This is evil. This is bad. The next verses say that God has overcome this and no weapon formed against you will prosper. But just as the evil one has produced people, circumstances, and events in this world that is for evil, God has presented you to this world for good. You've been created for his pleasure. God wants you to play a love song to the Lord. At creation, he created you as the instrument to play. It's so important to have your instrument ready. You know, you can come and, oh, I forgot my instrument. But since you have your instrument with you because you live in your instrument, God wants that instrument ready at all times to say, here I am. Now, God needs your instrument. For example, watch my trumpet. I'm going to ask it to play. It's really having a hard time playing, isn't it? Why isn't it playing? Why doesn't my trumpet play? Come on, look. Yes, and what am I going to do? I'm putting air through it. I'm putting wind through it. The Holy Spirit is wind through it. And so for this instrument to play, I have got to blow into it. God is blowing into each one of your instruments. Provided you have this kind of an instrument or even a wood instrument, a reed instrument. The Spirit of God is coming in with this flow of air so that you can make a sound. Now read with me, if you will, in your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 14, 7 and 8. Together. If, for example, you're playing a instrument like a trumpet, for it to be making a clear sound, it's got to be rid of what's in it that impedes the flow of the breath, the wind. And those of you who know what I'm talking about know what this little thing is right here. What did you learn? What is this? A what? A spit valve. Okay, don't carry this too far, but I'm going to equate sin with spit. Okay, but don't run with that. But nevertheless, it's not going to sound good unless I get the spit out. So the analogy is pretty simple. If we are equating for this time section here only spit as sin, then we've got to get rid of the sin so that we can play play our instrument well in this band. Now, when I say get rid of the sin that so doth easily beset us, I don't know what's going through your mind right now, but you know what sin is. And we won't take time to identify it, but we know there are a lot of definitions of sin. This sin has got to be removed. It's keeping our instruments from playing the proper tune, in fact, any tune, because the world is not recognizing our song. The church is playing, but the community is not listening, because when they think they've got it going, they don't hear the song. And the message that the church is playing today is not as clear as it should be, because we're full of spit. Don't let it reign in your heart. In Romans 6:12, we won't take time to read it, but the whole point of Romans 6:12, yes, we will take time to read it. It says this: therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal.